As I've said before, I am a serial erection killer. So people, I give off no vibe. I have a very, May's known me for 12 years, asexual vibe. Asexual really? Vibe.
It's I wouldn't just, agree, but you, yeah, you definitely, you have a sort of...
Mr. Bean.
You know, a Mr. Bean quality, but, yeah. But then, but also a Mr. Bean quality, but I wouldn't say asexual at all, but... It's charming that you think that about yourself.
I'm bean sexual. I'm bean sexual. Yeah, so yeah, if you sure. are sexually attracted to Mr. Bean, then you're going to be into me, yeah. basically. Yeah. May, AD, and Sabrina, welcome to Bad Dates. Guys, how are you?
I'm so excited to be here.
Hello. Scared to be here.
You're scared, AD?
A little bit.
Yeah. Is it a traumatic subject for you?
Well, I mean, I guess I can't really say that it is because I've been telling the story for 20 years. So, you know.
No, but dating in general.
I've obviously milked it.
Yeah. But dating in general, how do you feel about it, AD? Does it bring up fear?
Well, I looked like I was 9 until I was about 25. So my dating has been mostly sort of like hoping someone will be friends with me for long enough that we might get drunk together and oops, we made out.
So you're playing a long game with a lot of people.
I've played so many long games.
With a lot of pedophiles.
Yeah.
Till 25.
I met a girl once who lived in Canada, and this is true. That I wrote her letters and she wrote me back, and I was convinced that we were going to be together until she came back to New York and we met at a bar, and there was this guy that was like kind of hanging around, and she goes, "Oh my God, Miles, I haven't introduced my boyfriend yet." And I was like, oh.
No.
I was like, I've lived my life in the friend zone.
Oh yeah, that's my PO box. That's where I have all of my mail sent.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's where you have your mails sent.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to know how you guys feel about dating. May, what's your general feeling on the subject? I feel like you like dating.
Yeah, I think for a long time I was like a serial monogamist. And then now when I'm single, I think I'm a prolific dater. I like the date itself, like an activity, an escape room. I like to plan activities.
May's also got like a whole journal full of questions that are perfect for like icebreaker.
Oh my God. Give us some insight.
A prepared date.
Well, I know, which is maybe a red flag
it's a bit serial killery.
It's
I like
a bit
it.
Weird. Yeah. Like I'm just going through the motions of some formula, but I've been writing these personality questions, but I don't know why, but I have like 200 of them, and they're rapid fire and they really reveal a lot about the person.
Oh, wow.
That's fucking amazing. Can you give us like any idea of some of these questions?
So it starts easy things like, is your essence more grass or cloud? You know, is it more tortoise or zebra? And then it gets into like, do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few? Are you frightened to let go of capitalism? Do you have recurring nightmares? Things like that.
You have said one thing. This is like one of the first, I think it was the first stand-up set I ever went to see of yours, where you revealed that you had once in bed told someone that you wished that you could.
Do you want to
say it yourself?
Oh yeah, that's embarrassing. Good memory. Just that I was.
This is the exact moment I fell in love with you. You're like,
I was 20 and I started dating someone who was I was really into, and she was like 27 and more experienced. And it was like the second time that we had sex, and in the middle of it, she said, "Say something dirty to me," and I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to," like, but trying to think of what to say and panicking, and I said, "I want to fuck you for 10 years." Yeah, it's just the weirdest. Yeah, the least hot thing you could say.
You're nasty.
Yeah,
I want to fuck you for 10 years. Yeah,
I'm gonna co-sign a mortgage with you.
May, you and Sabrina know each other really well. How many years have you been friends?
We met when I was 15.
And I was 16.
Okay, this is an ongoing thing that Sabrina is upset that she was a year older when we met. So often when we say it, Sabrina gets a flicker of rage.
It's a lie. I was 17, but for some reason, it just sounds so old next to 15. So I say we met when we were 15 and 16, but on this podcast where we're being honest, I will admit I was 17.
Yeah. So many years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Actually, when we first met, we were... Actually, Sabrina was dating men, and I remember her bringing a date.
Not men, plural.
Okay, one man called
one
Michael.
One guy.
Yeah. And Sabrina brought him to the comedy club, and she was so mean to him because she didn't like him. So she was rolling her eyes every time he spoke.
May, this would be a better... this is a good bad date.
Yeah.
He showed up to Second City, which was like where I was flourishing and like coming closer and edging my gay identity, but was still wearing like a butterfly beret and like flares and like halter tops, because I was still in high school being like, I'll be normal. I'll be good. I'll be normal and I'll be good. And and Michael Scavuzzo, who was a boy in my neighborhood, saw me in a way that none of the other boys were seeing me. And he liked what he saw. And I said, all right, Sabrina, let's do this. Let's do it. I had given him half a hand job, which was the furthest I'd gotten. He put cologne on his penis.
He put cologne on his penis?
Yeah.
I mean, so wait a minute. Half a hand job. Did he stop it or did you stop it? Was he like, oh, that's enough. Forget it.
No, I was like, I literally was like, I'm going to check in with my friends. Like, I literally was like, we're spending too much time here. I have to go do something. Like, I just invented something to do.
Oh my God. You always want to hear somebody say, I got to go check in with my friends in the middle of a hand job.
Yeah. Bad dates.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dates. May, you are up.
Okay.
Your story is called, quote, The Raven.
Oh, okay. yeah. Okay, I'm 13, and it's been sort of ordained in my class that my boyfriend is going to be this guy, Mark Raven Zemla. Like, the whole class has agreed Mark Raven Zemla and May are going to date. He went to a different school, but I think we'd had one dance together or something, like a school dance. Mm-hmm. And Claire Markham was having a house party. I'm using full names, by the way, but it's okay because I'm still in touch with them. But she's having a house party, and it's like May and Mark are going to have their first kiss. Half the class is going to be there. Everyone's going to watch. And
This is so intense.
Yeah. And I'm deeply in love with Mark. God. I think we've never even touched each other at this point, but it's like we're boyfriend.
You're going together.
Yeah, you're getting married.
We're getting married and we're going to have our first kiss. And so that day, and I think it was the first house party I was ever going to. And that day I got my braces on. Full brace face, like so painful, just like swollen. There's like two types of people in the world, people who have had braces and people who haven't. Mm-hmm. And it's torturous. And
your property value as a person lowers 40%
significantly. Yeah.
It's character building, but like it's Yeah,
but you never recover when you're eating in front of people. Like, I still start having panic attacks when I eat salad in front of strangers, or not even strangers, friends, my boyfriend, anyone. Like, it never, the PTSD never leaves you. It's like you can't stop your hand from coming up to cover your entire face while you eat.
I spiritually have braces always, like, still. And so I got them on, and I go home, and I'm like, I can't go to this party. I can't see him tonight. I can't have my first kiss tonight. And my mom's like, May, he likes you for you, for your personality. You have to go. You can't even see the braces.
Oh, he's my gonna... God, she's a liar.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I guess. And she, my mom, like, paints my nails and helps me choose my outfit, and I'm so nervous. And I walk in the door, and Mark is there, and all these kids, and he literally takes one look at me and is like horrified, and takes Claire Markham's hand. This is my friend Claire, who's hosting the party, takes her into the bathroom, and they make out while I listen at the door, like, oh God.
My God.
I know.
That's my government appointed boyfriend.
But it was ordained. And so they are making out, and it was horrifying, you know. And then I saw Claire Markham for the first time in maybe 18 years. Like,
are you still upset? I'm upset.
Yeah, so she comes to my show, and she had DM'd me, and we were like, let's have a drink after. I haven't seen her in, maybe 20 years or something. And I see her in the lobby, and we walk up to each other, and the first thing out of her mouth is, I'm so sorry about Mark Raven. And I, like, don't let her off the hook. I'm like, yeah. Thanks
was,
a lot for
that
saying.
Was shitty.
Yeah.
Thank you, Claire. That was
insane.
Shitty.
Insane. We had both been holding on to it for two decades. And but now it's all settled. I mean, I haven't gotten in touch with Mark, but I'm intending to.
So why did you put your ear up to the bathroom door? Like, you wanted to
torture
hear?
Myself. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When you get to know May a little better, you'll understand. Yeah. Okay. It's very on brand.
Yeah. I feel like May listening at the door, you could draw, like, a direct correlation to the scene where your mom is like, you go out there and you get him.
I can just see your freshly painted nails against the door. Yes. Going,
oh,
like,
yes. God.
Exactly.
What are they doing?
But also, I feel like that's like the generation that we grew up in. Like, all of our movies were about romantic torture, right? Mm. All of those 80s movies was just about, that's exactly what you do in the film. I feel like May and I both, like, learned a lot in our lives from movies and thought we were so supposed to, I don't want to speak for you, but, like, I certainly thought I had to replicate a lot of what was happening in films. It took me ages to stop having sex, like a sex scene. Like, it took me ages to even, like, clock that's what I was doing. It was so mortifying when I realized that I was just, I was acting way before I was an actor. I can so imagine that, like, the movies tell you to put your hand against that door and listen,
and
then the camera pans in on your, like, teenage torturous pain. So I get it. It's such an indulgent era.
You can hear, like, the song Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, do you know that shot in The Shining when he's up against the door and the camera's down here and he's like, open the door, Wendy. Imagine if I was like that. That would be
Claire.
Yeah.
Were people watching you at the door?
Oh yeah, everyone was just like frozen in shock.
And did he, like, wordlessly just immediately look around and grab the first hand he could grab and march off, like, when he saw your braces?
He was like, hey, and I was like, hey, and then he revealed
Are you ready
in my
to
memory
kiss?
Like, bing, yeah.
Ready to suck tongues?
Oh, God. Oh,
sorry, God. Dalai Lama reference.
Oh, man. That is devastating. How long did it take you to recover, do you feel like, from that humiliation?
Not long. I was weirdly...
Any day now?
Yeah, any day now. It's going to happen, yeah. Weirdly, even for such an insecure kid, I always had boyfriends. I had so many
Oh, God.
Boyfriends that I was like, it's true love. But we never really... We would just sort of slow dance to Aerosmith, but
it's like a movie. Yeah.
Not everyone's out there giving half hand jabs.
Yeah. I was not given any jobs I was not allowed to give or receive any jobs. So
really?
Not all of us were in the market.
Oh,
it's fine. I was watching the films and never getting a chance to reenact them until my mid-20s. So you have another story called Bros Before Appropriate Engagement.
Well, I just thought it would be funny to tell this. It sort of counts as a date because Sabrina and I have a unique connection where we... I guess it counts as a date because we both...
Okay. I can't believe this is one of your stories. So
this is why I love having friends on the podcast at the same time. Go on.
We were having a kind of couple's vacation in Greece at my parents' house in Corfu. They used to live there and they have this like sort of
beautiful
rugged,
place.
Beautiful place. And so I was with my girlfriend, Sabrina's with her girlfriend, and we had this dinner book. I think this is partly why this happened, Sabrina. We had a dinner booked that we knew was going to be really romantic. And I had planned on proposing to my girlfriend. We'd been together 5 years. I had a ring. This is like my emotional family home, you know, with a lot of history in my family. It was perfect. Like I picked the spot. And I go, yeah, Sabrina, I'm going to propose to Lindsay. And I just see something cross over Sabrina's face like, well, I want to do that. Like just a slight jealousy and like, and
not,
Sabrina goes,
not to Lindsay.
No, but to, you're like, okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to propose to Shauna. And I'm like, okay, geez, well, when? She's like the day after you. So I proposed to Lindsay and, first of all, I hadn't planned it very well. And I just I was weeping and, I didn't really say anything good, but it was romantic and we're really happy. And then Sabrina goes, okay, I'm gonna propose to Shauna the next day in the exact same spot that you did, but I'm going to take this ring that I got and I'm going to tie it with fishing line to a bunch of grapes. And then they're going to descend from, so she's got this whole magic trick planned out, which kind of upstages my proposal. But I'm like, okay, that night, Sabrina's girlfriend, Shauna, gets severe food poisoning. Like, spends the entire night just like doubled over the toilet, retching.
How did that happen, May?
Oh, well, I think I claim it's from a daiquiri, from the ice.
A likely story.
Yeah.
Not the kebabs I was cooking over an open flame. But she, so she's, and I go, Sabrina, you can't propose tomorrow morning. Like Shauna hasn't slept. She's green. She's like, her stomach is empty. Like she's an empty shell of a person. And Sabrina's like, no, it'll be fine. So the next morning comes and Sean is not expecting a proposal at all. I think Lindsay, my ex, really was. So me and Lindsay know this is going to happen and we're hiding, watching through a window and we see Sabrina bustling away like a busy little bee, dressed to the nines. It's like 11 a.m. Sabrina's dressed in a shiny shirt, buttoned up. She's cooked this beautiful breakfast, laid it out outside. And Shauna just comes shuffling out, like hobbling out because she's been throwing up all night. She's kind of lost her voice. Like she hasn't even brushed her teeth yet. She's like in hell. And Sabrina's like, good morning. Really weirdly chipper, really nervous.
Wearing a proposal blouse.
Yeah. And Lindsay and I are just watching this. Like, what? How is this going to go down? And we hear Sabrina saying things like, these tomatoes are great. And Sean's like, what? Like, can I go back to bed? And then Sabrina kind of lures her over to the spot where I had just proposed the previous day.
Oh my God, this is so insane.
And like delirious Shauna just suddenly sees this bunch of grapes like descending in front of her. And Sabrina's like, ta-da, and here's the ring. Is it true?
It was a fishing line.
Okay, yeah, what's the mechanism for lowering the grape?
Okay,
like
so
a helium balloon?
Now my advice for anyone that wants to propose is like the magic is in the moment and in the love. But all I was thinking about, like the magic is a magic trick. It's literal magic.
Oh my God.
So I had tied a fishing line around these grapes that had our engagement rings on them. And then I had pulled them up into the grapevines and I was impatient and waiting and wanting to tee up this like celebratory dinner.
So she's attached the end of the fishing line to like her finger or something slowly.
That's what I'm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was slowly, a rock.
Yeah.
So she's like slowly raising her hand, like
raising a rock
as the
slowly,
rings,
as the grapes descend. And then all Lindsay and my stomach was in my, like, I was so nervous. And all Lindsay and I hear is Shauna going, no, 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 no.
Oh,
and
my God.
And we hear Sabrina go, what? And she's like, no. And Sabrina's like, what do you mean no? And she's like, no, I mean, yes, I'll marry you, but I'm so sick. Like, what is happening? And then, yeah, but then the crazy thing is it's like that marriage lasted, whereas mine, and we never got married, but Sabrina's still married to this day. And we did have like that night or the night
that was
after,
like 13
the most,
years ago.
So many years ago. And we had the most romantic, like, engagement dinner, the four of us, and that was really magical.
I stand by it. It was worth it for that dinner. That dinner was
I was
so
gonna say
fun.
I think there's something to you using the magic trick, clearly, May. I think that's what yours was missing.
Yeah, mine was too earnest. I should have had a little bit of pizzazz.
No, earnest is good.
Earnest is great. More bad dates right after a quick break. Bad dates. As a business owner, I can tell you from experience that shipping can make or break a sale. Now, as your business grows, maybe you should use ShipStation because they can help optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easy handle returns. They have effortless integration everywhere you could possibly think of selling online, including Amazon, Walmart, Shopify, and more. And you'll be able to manage orders, print labels, compare rates, optimize every shipment, and automate delivery notifications in one simple dashboard. Be sure to check out their industry-leading discounted rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post, with discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And over 130,000 companies have already grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, and 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. So optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use the promo code BADDATES today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code BADDATES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're looking to set some boundaries between friends or family, therapy can help. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself so you don't feel drained. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/baddates today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/baddates.
Bad dates. And we're back. AD, your story is called Wait, It Gets Worse.
It does. It does. And I do, I think I have to start mine off, but just by saying that every detail of this happened, and it just, it's going to strain credulity. So mine was in the 90s. I just moved to New York City. I was in my 20s, and I was working at a company called Buns of Steel, make exercise videos. And
what?
Abs of steel, all parts of the body of steel.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, you're horny and you're young and you flirt with everyone. And so there was a girl that I worked with who I'm calling Darla. And we...
Interesting choice. You
know, yeah.
Darla is the real name?
No.
yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice, right?
Instantly anyways, judgmental from May. Go on.
Darla.
Darla.
Oh, very 1940s of you. So yeah, I was flirting with Darla and doing my thing where I'm a friend and I'm like, well, hang out a lot and maybe it'll lead to something 4 or 5 years from now. And so I said, we had made plans to go to Central Park on like a day date. We were going to go to Sheep's Meadow. And I, you know, I was pretty much hungover all the time at this point. This was on a Saturday and no exception. And, it's hot New York City day and I'm hungover and we go to Sheep's Meadow and I'm not feeling great, but oh my God, I finally got this day date going. So I'm going to stick with it. And we're laying on a towel that she brought and, you know, we're looking up at the sky. Our eyes are closed because we're staring at the sun and she's talking. And, you know, my stomach is not feeling amazing.
Oh, my God.
And, you know.
I'm so nervous.
And I'm wearing, like, cut-off khaki shorts.
And red flag.
Big time red flag. It was the style yeah. of the time. It was the style of the time. So I'm wearing these shorts and I, you know, I go to what I think is going to be to let out a silent fart.
Oh,
and I
babe,
filled my pants with diarrhea.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm not saying a little bit. I mean, I'm talking quarts of diarrhea.
No.
Like a ton.
No, quarts. Oh, my God.
Maybe a quart. Maybe a quart.
But oh, my
a
God.
A quantity, an inescapable quantity of diarrhea was now in my cut-off shorts. And I'm laying on my back, so it's all contained
in your
the
buns
moment.
Of steel.
And she's in my buns of steel. And so she's sitting there talking. And so I have this moment where I'm the only one that knows the new reality, right? And I'm like,
because Darla didn't realize. Did.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm not sure about that.
I just Lucy, want to hop. I want to hop in.
Yeah.
Okay. well played. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, well, this has happened. This is the reality on the ground. I do have to deal with this. And so I start trying to concoct a plan to get out of it. And so I form like a seal with my shorts, you know, I grab them on the sides and I form like a seal around my leg and I stand up while she's talking and I'm like, hey, Darla, I gotta go take a leak. I'll be right back. And I back away from her and she's just laying there and I'm like, oh my God, I made it away from her. I can't believe it. And so I head to the public bathroom in Central Park, which, you know, is really luxurious and really nice. Mm-hmm. And so I go there. Of course, there's like a huge line, but you know, I'm like, I don't care. I have an emergency here. I start to cut. And of course everybody's like, hey, get the fuck back in the line.
Yeah. No, but then they smell you, right?
Right. Well, now that's, I'm like, and I'm in my nice guy way. I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't want to cut line and I don't want to tell everybody. Well, see, here's the thing, guys, I have quarts of diarrhea in my shorts. So I really do have to get in there. So I didn't want anybody to know that. So I wait in line and I'm sitting there and like, it's taking forever. So I finally make it to the bathroom and I go into the stall. And like I said, this is the public bathroom in Central Park and there's pee and water all over the floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. Someone has taken a dump next to the toilet, like on the ground. So there's like pee water swirling around someone else's dump on the ground next to the toilet. And I'm like,
God, I'm going to stop recording these episodes at lunchtime. Like, I'm so sorry, everyone.
It
go
could
on.
Be another man. It could have not been someone that's taken a dump. It could be another man in capri pants had just emptied his.
I wasn't wearing
there.
Capri pants.
Yeah.
I was not wearing pedal pushers, okay? I was wearing proper cut off
capri pants, right?
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
Cocky, yeah.
Cocky.
Go on.
So anyway, and so of course the door won't stay shut. So I've got to hold the bathroom door stall shut with one hand and I've spread my legs to keep my shorts from hitting the ground because I don't want anyone else's shit getting on my shorts. And so I start, you know, cleaning up the best I can. And then cops raid the bathroom.
And
they force everyone to start screaming for everyone to get out because they've just done a huge drug bust and they're going to use this bathroom as a holding pen, all right, for all the people they just touched it. So they're running in, they're throwing drug dealers against the wall and they're screaming at them, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I am definitely not leaving the bathroom stall because I am halfway through this very messy ordeal. You know, I'm like throwing wads of toilet paper in there. I'm doing the best I can. I finally get cleaned up enough to where I can like hike up my shorts to my nipples and untuck my t-shirt, you know, so it hangs down below the stain.
God.
And it, you know, it looks like so I come out of the bathroom stall in the middle of this drug bust. I look like I'm wearing like a mini skirt or a dress, you know, because I've got no shorts on now suddenly. And they start screaming at them. They're like, get the fuck out of the bathroom. We told you to get out of here. And I was like, sorry. And so I leave and I go back to Darla and I'm like, hey, Darla, and she's, I look ridiculous, right? So I've got like these, my pants have disappeared and I'm wearing this long t-shirt untucked. And yeah, I'm
you
like,
you smell
hey.
Amazing, I
and
imagine.
I'm like, hey, Darla, I'm not feeling great. I think I got to go home. She's like, oh man, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, let's go. You know, and she gathers herself. She goes, I'll go with you. We walk to the, so she wants to go ride the subway with me. So we're like we're going back to the subway and like we get on the subway. And of course, thank God it already smells like shit anyway. So she doesn't really question the fact that it smells a lot like Show With Me standing next to her. I go home and I, you know, I'm like, make it back to my house. And I'm like, I cannot believe that I made it. I actually pulled this off. She's got no idea. I take off my clothes. I put them in a bag, burn them, take a shower. I'm like, holy shit. I just dodged the biggest shit bullet of all time. And the phone rings and it's Darla. And she's like, hey, Miles, how are you feeling? And I was like, oh, so much better. Thank you. I'm so sorry. She's like, no, no problem. Listen, my roommate's out of town and, I don't know if you wanted to come over, I could make some pasta and I'll make you dinner.
Wait,
and I was like,
I can't believe that there's now another chapter is starting that I'm like even more nervous about now. Like, yeah. I thought you made it home. You're safe. Now I'm like, what is this now?
No, that would just,
I'm like, stay home.
No, I might get to make out with
also,
someone, and it
Darla's nose is just done.
Yeah. She has had COVID. She was the patient zero of coronavirus. Yeah.
So I'm like, well, now I'm definitely sure she doesn't know. So I go over to her house, and I'm thinking this might actually still happen. And I go to her house, and we're her apartment. And, you know, she shows
God, this
me...
This is the horror movie and you're the girl in the bikini going into the basement that's making
right.
weird noises
hey,
right now. Like, it's really stressful. Basement.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging out. She shows me around her apartment. She shows me her room, her living room. It's, you know, and she goes to the kitchen. She's making some dinner. And she's, you know, we're yelling across the apartment and she's like, Miles, this is ridiculous. You know, we're screaming across the apartment. Why don't you just... come in here and talk to me while I'm making dinner. I was like, okay, cool. And I get up and I start walking towards the kitchen.
Stop.
And I reach back to scratch my butt and I pull back a handful of shit.
No. Wait, okay.
How?
What do you mean? So your hand, you reach into your pants to scratch
your
butt?
No, I scratch the outside of my pants and I pull back a handful of shit. On the outside. And I'm like, my brain... melts and I'm like, what the fuck is going? Am I shitting through my pants now? And I don't even know it. Like, what is happening to my body? What's happening to me? And I'm flipping out. And I'm standing there with my hand full of shit. And Darla comes out and she's like, sees me standing there. And I'm standing there with this handful of shit. And I'm like, Darla, I don't know what's happening, you know, but there's, and she looks around and everywhere that I have sat in the last hour, there's a shit smear. Like there's a shit smear on her couch. There's a shit smear on the foot of her bed. There's a shit smear on the bar stool.
What?
There's shit everywhere. And I am completely ready to just cave and have a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And she gets this very angry look on her face and she's like, oh, God damn it. My roommate's cat shed on the couch and you sat in it. This happens all the time. And I'm like elated. Oh. I am so happy and so relieved. She can't figure out where I'm like, oh, really? That's great. Oh my God. She's like, why are you so happy that you sat in cat shed and tracked it all over my apartment? Because she didn't know that 5 hours earlier, I had filled my pants with diarrhea on the first part of our date.
Thanks for saying it again.
Yeah.
Quarts of diarrhea.
Quarts
of diarrhea. So, yeah. So she gave me some boxers to put on and wash my clothes. We had pasta. It was very much a friend zone type situation. Nothing happened.
No.
Yeah.
What?
And then I went home and I was like, I can't believe that happened.
Honestly, I feel like I want to put the Mission Impossible music underneath that entire story.
Mm. Yes.
Round of applause. Round of applause for not getting
horrible.
Busted in spite of quarts of diarrhea and for ruining the term quarts around food forever. Mm. Yeah.
The quarts makes it sound fancy like diamonds.
Yeah. A deli.
I got a four quart shit.
Yeah, Swarovski poo.
Goblets of diarrhea.
Could it be that Darla liked men who shit their pants? Could it be? Because
that was her king.
Follow the clump of poo here. You mm-hmm. had poopy pants. You smelled like shit. It was your shit. She wanted more. You go to her house.
Oh,
you've got
God.
Shit. It's cat shit this time. She's pissed. Damn it. And you don't hook up. Friend zone.
Oh, because you think she wanted it to be your shit. And she thinks that it was just the cat.
Yes.
Or I'm just thinking now, I never did see a cat. It could have been her shit.
I never did see a cat is a good title.
That was did it because she wanted me to sit in her shit.
She brought a snack and there was laxatives in it at the picnic.
It was revenge. The whole thing was revenge for the earlier day.
She's here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait.
Oh, my good God.
So the moment when you're lying next to her and you release your bowels and there's like a moment of deciding what to do, did you feel like maybe you would just have to lie there forever or like what?
You're talking about missions and Mission Impossible. My brain went into like problem solving mode and I started listing all the options. Cop to it. Hey, I just shit my pants. Date's over. Or try to figure a way out of this and continue the date, but with this very obvious, horrible situation going on.
I feel like I would steal her handbag and run away so that she just thought I was a criminal. Rather than, and that the whole thing had just been an elaborate ruse for me to steal her handbag rather than her ever know that I had shit my pants. I think obviously my version is super illegal and we are learning continuously that I'm a sociopath throughout this entire episode. But that to me is the move. Steal the bag, run.
Never speak to her again.
No.
This is where like having a period is good, where you could just, I would have been like, oh my gosh, I just filled my
pants whole pants with period blood.
So much period.
Which have been so weird for me,
Moving on. AD, thank you for that astonishing tale of...
Sorry.
It was so disgusting. It really was so disgusting that we need to move on immediately, I feel like. immediately, okay. We will have more bad dates right after this. Bad dates!
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
And we're back. Okay, so Sabrina, your story is called Jivan.
So my there's a lot of setup for me. You have to know a couple things. You have to know that I built a back house and, you know, if they build it, they will come. What they don't tell you is they won't fucking leave. So I built this back house. My parents are coming to visit.
That's a different PSA, by the way. South Asians should never build a guest room or a guest house.
So what's happening is top of this year, my parents are coming. Shauna, my wife, is like, how long are they coming for? And I was like, that's a mystery only time will tell. and so I know that I've got to do something romantic for Shauna. You know, I'm good at marriage in that way where I'm like, I found a flight deal on Scott's Cheap Flights. $700 business class round trip to Belize.
Wow.
I'd never heard of anyone going to Belize, but that deal was too good. I book it. I immediately tell a couple friends to book it. And so this romantic trip sort of shifted into a friend trip, which was okay. And then, but by the time we are on our way to Belize, our marriage is in not, it's been like, you know, when your parents are visiting, it's like they are the depiction of the things like personified that your partner wants to change in you. You know?
Yeah. The after picture.
Yes, like every time my mother is controlling or my dad has a ketchup stain, Shauna's like, it's you. And so we're heading to Belize. I'm aware that we need to have time together. But when we get to Belize, Shauna's back hurts. And so this like beautiful cave tubing trip that I had planned, she can't do it. So instead she's stuck at, where did I book us? The Best Western. That was a problem. it was the Best Western Belize. I shouldn't have booked it, but every place was just mahogany bad. And it just looked on the pictures like it might be the nicest for our 2 days in Belize City. San Pedro, Belize, beautiful. It's 2 days in Belize City. By the way, we get to Belize City. I did some Googling before and they're like, they might not like gay people in Belize. And we are here to tell you they don't. They do not want anybody gay there. Literally, it was like a sketch where every person, and we are both nice people. I am Canadian. I am like trying to establish, you know, we are traveling and trying to connect, and everyone is like, $30, keep moving. Like, just like very rude and curt. I got a suite for us, and like I paid extra, and they put us in like a dungeon. Well, no, not one window.
Gay dungeon.
Yeah.
A gay dungeon.
They're like, we know where to put these
two. Exactly.
The root cellar.
It was so bad. At one point I asked the front desk, I was like, is this because we're gay? And they're like,
yeah.
No, they go, their answer said no, but then their explanation said yes, where it was like, no, I know some gay people. They're very nice. And it's like, well, just like very... evil vibes. But then, so then you have to imagine how happy I was when my friends and I go on this cave tubing trip and we meet Jivan. And Jivan likes us. And Jivan is this like chubby cutie man that knows about the jungle. He teaches us about the plants and he's pulling us through a cave. I had twisted my ankle and I had like a tensor bandage on my ankle. Mm-hmm. And so he started carrying me places and I didn't explain.
Wow.
I loved it. I was like, this is amazing. I'm connecting with a local. This is Belize. and then Jivan hooks us up with these like pineapples filled with rum on the way home. And we're drinking them in his van. And we're like, Jivan, we love you. And so I ended up hiring. Jivan told me he'd give me a good price if he could be our driver for the night. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to give the Best Western, homophobic Best Western any more money. So yeah, Jivan, you're hired. You can drive us around tonight. And tonight, remember, is a moment for me to repair my marriage, which is right now filled with too much of my parents. It's a moment for me to connect with Shauna.
And she's been on her own in the gay dungeon while you've literally been having a blast in a cave.
While you've been out caving.
I told her to go to the spa at the Best Western, the spa. It is tricky. This is what they do. There's Belize dollars, which is half the price of US dollars. But they trick you and they make you think it's Belize dollars. And then when you pay, they're like, no, 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 no. And it's like literally a different board. And it's like US dollars. So she paid $120 for like the worst pedicure she's ever had in her life. And she's just been, and then like the person that gave her the pedicure was like, please, I'm like captured here. It was all very dark and sad.
Oh,
and
shit.
And so Shauna's just had like a traumatic day. So I get home and I'm like, babe, I found a nice person in Belize that likes us. And his name is Jivan, and he's going to drive us around tonight. And she's like, cool, cool, cool. And so Jivan picks us up and drives us to this restaurant. But he parks his car, and we're like, okay, cool. Maybe he's just, like, walking us in.
No.
And then he...
Oh, no.
Yes.
What?
He asks for a table of five, but we're four. And then he sits down and starts, like, ordering lobsters and chickens and, like, dominating the conversation, being rude to the waitress.
No.
This hero of the jungle in this restaurant has become a lunatic zero. Like, no. I've invited, like, we're, like, just four women traveling. Oh God, and somehow.
Soul Bridezilla. Jesus Christ.
You can take the man out of the cave.
And he is... he's rude. I'm like trying to dig for something like vulnerable in him to make. I'm like, Siobhan, like, what's your Rosenthorn, Siobhan? And his like rose was that he's like an amazing tour guide, and then his thorn was like, even when people are sad, I just tell them forget about it, focus on the tour, and then I make them happy. And it's like, this is not a thorn, Siobhan. And then
his thorn is addicted to lobster.
Okay, so then we're sitting at this restaurant. It's the wind. It's like almost like the environment was also picking up on the mood. Like all of our hats were being thrown off, and we're planning our next move. And Shauna is like, I'd like to go to this cocktail spot. And me and my friends were like, we wanted to go to the casino after dinner. And this is where, looking back, I'm not great because
immediately we're like, no.
Give Shauna the cocktail spot, right? But I,
yeah.
But we are.
Yeah, you're in enough trouble. You've come home drunk. You've brought her out with a maniac. Like, this is.
So yeah, I'm like, I want to go. We want to go to the casino. Shauna's like, I want to do the cocktails. It's weird energy. I'm like rolling my eyes. Siobhan is there talking about himself. And we get, so we decide, okay, fine, we'll do the cocktails. We get to the cocktail place. And when we get there, Shauna's like, I just want to acknowledge the energy here is weird. Okay. Like, we should be together in this. And like, instead, there's just this man here staring at me. And it's weird that you're here too, sir. And he stood there, Siobhan's standing there with a beer now. And he goes, I'm right here. I'm right in the middle.
Guilty as charged.
I feel like Zach Galifianakis. Like, all I can see is the character.
Literally.
Siobhan.
Literally. Like zero clue, most like unbreakable confidence. And so that's when I started, when he said I'm right in the middle, that's when I was like, oh, my poor babe. Like, then it was like a horror movie and we were on the right side. And then I was like, okay, babe, it's me and you. She's like, good, we'll go to the casino. We go to the casino. Siobhan comes to the casino. And we're like, how are we going to lose this guy? At the casino, by the way, we're like, we're playing blackjack, Shauna and I. And this man is playing with us. The man leaves. And the casino dealers, like Westworld robots, just like shut down and stop serving us.
No.
Oh, really?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Because they're not into you.
They don't like us. No one likes us. And then we're like, we all pretended to have tummy aches. We all pretended to shit our capris. and then we were like, Siobhan, last stop, our hotel. And Siobhan sent us home. And I guess Siobhan maybe was...
Siobhan's like, can I walk you to your door?
Siobhan was the therapy I needed to turn towards my wife. And
you needed a common enemy, didn't you?
Yeah.
And Siobhan became that.
Siobhan was the common enemy we needed. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to have that established right at the top of a trip, is like just 100,000 references to Siobhan for the rest of the trip. But I will say, San Pedro is amazing. So I like going to San Pedro, amazing experience. They love gay people. Just be quick in Belize City.
Right.
Especially if you see Siobhan.
It's just funny that you introduced Siobhan to the group and then used him as a tool to become closer to your wife through hate.
Genius, if we think about it.
I also liked in the story where you were like at the restaurant and she wants to go for cocktails and you go, this is the moment where I realized I need to be nice to my wife. There were moments before.
Not going into the cave, I think, in the first place, and staying with her in the dungeon.
Not booking the Best Western.
Well, look, you're still together now, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
And Siobhan is now living in your guest house?
He's actually...
Is he there now?
Shauna and Siobhan are in the other room right now, actually, yeah.
I'm right here.
I'm right in the middle.
God bless the common enemy that is Siobhan. All right, so thank you for that excellent story, and I'm happy that your marriage has survived to tell the tale. So I have a thing that we haven't done before on the podcast before, which is when we ask always for our listeners to send in their worst date stories, but we have a quick voicemail this time.
Ooh.
This is from Anya, who's telling us all about her bad date, and I want to know what you think.
I'd gone out on several dates with this lad. I was a student at university, and it was all moving in the right direction, and we got on really well. And then on this particular date, we decided to go back to his house to carry on, as you do. And he had this little thing that he called a fruit basket, and would I like to partake in said fruit basket? And I was like, yes, sounds good to me. Basically, a fruit basket was putting small soft fruits inside one's vagina and then having them sucked out.
What?
It's quite amazing, I might add. I think he got a bit carried away, and at one point wasn't aware, obviously, because I couldn't really see what was going on. He bit off a piece of plum, and all of a sudden I heard this "oh" noise coming from downstairs, and I said, "What do you mean, oh?" And apparently my vagina had eaten this chunk of plum and had disappeared completely inside me. So at which point I panicked, and I said, "We're going to have to go to the hospital," which was about sort of 15-minute walk away. And as I'm walking, I could feel this bloody piece of plum working its way out inside me. And it was just really uncomfortable. And I thought, I need to just check to see what's going on. So I had to walk into the nearest pub just to use the toilet. So I kind of just dashed in. And thank God this piece of bloody plum had plopped into my knickers, which was great. It was the most surreal date. And we ended up sort of going out together for about 8 years, actually. Oh my God. He was a lovely lad, and guess what? His name was Mark Peach. Fruit basket. Anyway, I thought that was quite entertaining.
Oh my God.
Wow. Oh God, I love British people so much. That was so casual. The whole thing, and then ending on, yeah, we've been going out for 8 years.
Eight years.
His name was Mark Peach, guys.
Oh my God.
Being chill enough to be like, yeah, put the soft fruits in, eat them up, but then being so anxious about a plum being up there, it's like,
yeah.
I feel like if it was a lesbian would have just dug it out.
So
piece
gross.
Of plum plopped out in my bloody knickers.
Okay. Also, like, Anya's a legend. Like,
yeah.
I feel like if I get to someone's house who I don't know, and then they want to stick fruit up my vagina and suck it out, I think she's a legend for just saying, yeah, I'll try that. I had never heard of it before and just went with it.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
What a babe.
Yeah,
at least finish with a banana, I would imagine.
Oh, what a legend, Anya. I like it. I like that a lot of some of our terrible dates have led to actually very long relationships.
Yeah.
You never know. Don't be afraid of the bad dates. Lean in, because you could find the great love of your life.
A true test.
Or like find tragedy. If you really want to connect with someone, hire a Jivan. Put a
phone in
your
Yeah. Oh my God, I really hope people go and find Jivan at the cave now in Belize City. Like, I really hope that we turn him into a tourist attraction.
He's great. Guys, he's great out there in the caves.
You've been fucking wonderful. I have loved hearing all of your stories. I feel like I've learned a lot about everyone, anyone out there who's going to date May. And I feel like the others... Wait, were you saying you would all be up for fruit, up you? We've all learned about something sexually
no
everyone's open to. Okay, fine. You've had enough
fruit,
in your
no.
pants.
Yeah.
No, we've understood. Thank you so much for sharing and caring. Before we go, does anyone have any dating advice they would like to impart upon our listeners? It's absolutely fine if you don't. But sometimes you just never... Okay, coming in hot.
Get a journal, write down 200 questions, like rapid fire questions. Just get to the bottom of things. It's the only way.
Next time I see you, can we do these questions? I'd like to learn how much of a sociopath I actually am.
Yeah, definitely.
thank you guys. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, same.
Thanks for having us.
I love you.
Thank you.
Mae Martin's new comedy special, Sap, is streaming on Netflix now, as well as their comedy series, Feel Good, which is one of my favourite shows, I think, of all time. Sabrina DeLees is featured in the new movie, I Used to Be Funny, in the Netflix special, The Comedy Lineup, and she also hosts the podcast, The Goody Goody, with Sabrina DeLees. Bad Dates is produced by Smartless Media and Wondery. Created by Robert Cohen. Executive producers are Robert Cohen and Jamila Jamil. That's me. Produced by Stuart Bailey. Produced, engineered, and edited by Devin Torrey Bryant. Talent producer is Anne Harris. Associate producer is Maddie McCann. Music by Cushy and Evan Schletter. Executive producers are Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes. Executive producers for Smartless Media are Richard Coulson and Bernie Kaminsky. If you've had a bad day and you'd like to tell us all about it, our number is 984-265-3283 and our email is baddatespod@gmail.com. We can't wait to hear all about it. That's all for this week. We will see you next time for more Bad Dates.
Smart. Less.
Hello, Prime members. You can listen to Bad Dates early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.